Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Will this be the day that we hit 100 degrees? I kind of think so. We're feeling like we're well on our way. This Buckmaster Show on May 15th, 2013, live. Here we are each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. It is Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and at the radio station's website, kvoi.com, and you can hear our program anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com, where we podcast. Also, tucsoncitizen.com has the program, as does tucsonsentinel.com. On today's show, we'll talk with the presiding judge of the Pima County Juvenile Court Center, 20 minutes past the hour, renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy will join us for his monthly visit to our program. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk about our companion animals and how to give them the best care in the case of an emergency, namely a rattlesnake bite. And we'll close out the show with Allie Miller, who represents District 1 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, and you can always send us a question or comment on our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, and we're happy to report we're now at that just about that 2,600 friends of the show. Let's begin now with Judge Karen Adam. A recent report shows youth confinement has decreased nationwide in the last 15 years, with the state of Arizona seeing it drop the most. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the presiding judge of Pima County Juvenile Court Center, Judge Karen Adam. Judge Adam, how are you today?
I'm very well, Bill. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I think many are curious, Judge, about this drop in youth confinement. To what do you attribute the drop?
Bill, it's been a tremendous amount of hard work. Beginning in Pima County in 2004, we had built a very large, brand-new, state-of-the-art detention facility that could have housed about 300 children, and we were averaging 170 or thereabouts every single night. And we decided that there were probably children detained who didn't need to be detained. And what was particularly alarming for us was the disproportionate minority contact, a disproportionate number of children of color who were being detained. So Judge Hector Compoy, who was presiding at the time, convened a community meeting, and we had all sorts of folks who sat down with us to work on the issue. The next thing that happened was we applied for and got a grant from the Casey Foundation, Casey Family Foundation, to do what's called the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. We got some technical assistance from them and began the really, really hard work, the collaboration among everybody in the community whose jobs or lives touched our children and families, and have been working steadily at that ever since. We had a detention population last night of 28 children.
You got to be kidding.
No, it's extraordinary.
You're saying less than 30 children were incarcerated last night,
yes,
in Pima County?
Yeah, we've been running that way for several days.
That is really amazing. So we've seen this actual decrease in juvenile crime, concurrent reform measures that you were just articulating. And talk a little bit about family drug court as peer learning court and how that's impacting the situation.
Well, that's an extraordinary program. We've been a family drug court for about 12 years, and family drug court means that it's a drug court for adults at juvenile court, which is kind of unique because almost all of our other programming is around children. But it's for parents whose children have been removed because the parents have substance abuse issues. And it's a therapeutic court. It's run just like the other drug courts around the country, which, as you know, have been around for nearly 30 years. So you bring parents in, and you see them often, and you provide what's called intensive case management. So they have, in their underlying dependency case, their child welfare case with CPS, they have a case manager. But that case manager is taking care of everything, including both parents, all the children, all the placements, all the services. In family drug court, the parent who is in family drug court, and it can be both parents, has an intensive case manager and a case specialist, both working with that client to make sure that they're getting the services and the support that they need. So it's this intense work with those parents. What has made the biggest difference in our drug court is when we added trauma therapy, because we know now, with everything we know about trauma, that childhood trauma is a direct link to adult substance abuse. So when we started offering trauma therapy to our parents, the rate of graduation, the rate of family reunification climbed to about 95%. The parents who completed the trauma therapy, did the other aspects of their case plan, were reunited with their children, and graduated from family drug court at astonishing rates. So we're just about full. We have about 100 parents involved, mothers and fathers. And because we've established such a great track record, and because we have virtually institutionalized drug court here and have been able to have the best parts of drug court duplicated and replicated in all of our cases, all of us know about best practices, all of us know about trauma therapy, so even if a parent is not in drug court, judges and caseworkers know what would be appropriate. We've been selected to be a peer learning court, so other drug courts from around the country will learn from us, and that's an incredible honor.
Well, it's really a success story. We're speaking with presiding judge of Pima County Juvenile Court Center, Judge Karen Adam. One area I want to touch on, the need for foster placements in Tucson. How serious is this, Judge Adam?
Incredibly serious. Now, Arizona is one of only 5 states in the country where the number of children in foster care has increased this year. Statewide, we have just under 15,000 children in foster care, 3,900 in Pima County. That's an incredible number. And we are short on foster placements within the county. We have many, many children who are placed as far away as Yuma and Mesa and Chandler, including infants. We end up with sibling groups who are separated and so forth. So there is really a desperate need for foster placements. And there is so much support for our foster parents, and training is available both through private agencies and through CPS. And private agencies contract with CPS, DES, and do the training and the licensing. And there are all sorts of options for folks, ranging from faith-based agencies to community-based agencies. So I would really encourage anybody who's got an interest in helping children while their parents are trying to be able to reunite with them and be solid parents to step up and be licensed as a foster parent. It would be a tremendous service. We have kids that come for visits with their parents, and they're 2 hours in a car seat and on the way down and 2 hours on the way back. And, you have to weigh how important it is for the children to visit with their parents versus the stress on them of that amount of travel. So.
And it's really heartbreaking that they have to travel so far. For parents that would like to become a foster parent, is there financial aid that's available to these people?
Yes, foster parents are paid a stipend by the state, and then there's additional assistance available from the Friends of Foster Care, a wonderful nonprofit that for years and years and years has helped with the extras. The music lessons, the gymnastics, the camp, and so forth. We also have the court-appointed special advocate program for folks if they aren't able to open up their homes and take children in for that kind of direct care. We also are always needing court-appointed special advocates, folks who can be the voice for children in court. That group is run through the Supreme Court, the Administrative Office of the Courts, housed at our Juvenile Court Center. And wonderful training provided and an opportunity for folks to really connect with a child and be that advocate in court for them in a way that their case manager can't be, in a way that their lawyer can't be. That organization also has a foundation, and they raise funds and also have been tremendously helpful in providing tutors for children who are in foster care and struggling with school. So foster parents have resources that they can certainly tap into.
Getting back to our headline from this interview, I'm still in shock. You know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
About that 28 people, young people, spent the night in confinement last night. And I can remember a few years ago where it was, of course, in the hundreds,
right,
routinely. It's just really unbelievable for a size county of Pima County. Is that almost a record low as far as what you've seen?
We were at 27 the other day, and that was definitely a record low. And these lows, we've been saying that our average daily population, you know, we went from 172 to 90 and so forth, and then we were running in the 60s. This being in the 20s is really extraordinary. And I have to say, it happens because we have worked so closely with both education and law enforcement. Because if children come to our door, we need to do something. We need to either have them detained. We need to find other placements for them. And we discovered when we began the work with this that there were a lot of referrals of children from school to law enforcement and then down to the detention facility. So we developed a tool for determining whether, a risk assessment tool to determine whether the child was a risk to the community and whether they would be likely to return. And we started giving them a score, and then based on the score, they were detained or not, and then, of course, there were exceptions. What happened when we began the work was both the schools and law enforcement started looking at, well, if they're not going to be detained, we need to find other ways of dealing with them in the setting in which we find them. So the schools have been working, especially TUSD and Sunnyside have been with us literally from the beginning, looking at their discipline policies and looking at when exactly law enforcement should be called to remove a child. And then law enforcement also has just done an extraordinary job. Tucson Police Department's been with us also from the beginning, and they have just done amazing work. They've even opened up their records to look at the other part of the work that we're doing, which is on disproportionate minority contact. They have done that very openly and with a lot of transparency, and are active participants still with us in this work to make sure that we are detaining only the children who need to be detained. It's really quite remarkable work, absolutely energizing and innovative. And what's interesting is that the state has decided wants to do this across the board, so there is a statewide effort, and there are 5 pilot counties looking at the same process that we went through to get to where we are today.
Well, it's a wonderful collaboration that's going on in our community, and this is really one of those good news stories. And I really appreciate you, Judge Karen Adam, for spending some time and sharing with my listeners about what's going on at Pima County Juvenile Court Center. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Karen Adam with us. Some really good news about juvenile court. We will continue. David Levy, world-renowned comet Discover, will be up next. Stay with us.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster at 1222 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Well, the sun has unleashed four very potent solar flares over the past few days, according to NASA. One of the flares on Sunday was the strongest solar eruption this year and created a solar radiation storm. And hopefully that will not interrupt our interview with world-renowned comet discoverer David Levy. Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, joining us on the live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona. David is the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. David is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, with approximately and hoping for number 24 very soon. He's got 23. David, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. And I have a little bit of unexpected news. Last night I was outside, and for the first time I saw the very first rocket that the U.S. has ever launched into space, the Vanguard 1 rocket. It is still in orbit, and I saw it last night from my house.
It's still in orbit. That goes back to what, the 50s?
Goes back to 1958, February of 1958. I think it's 56 years.
And I think that was launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base, wasn't it?
It was from Cape Canaveral.
Oh, from Cape Canaveral. How about that?
It's actually not their first. The first rocket that the U.S. ever launched was the Jupiter C, which sent Explorer 1 into orbit. But the Vanguards are still in orbit. And this was the rocket that sent up the first Vanguard satellite.
Hey, what about the David? What about these solar flares? That's pretty intense activity.
Yeah, I saw them yesterday. I saw one of them yesterday and a couple of days before. They're very bright spots on the sun that you can see in hydrogen alpha. And I looked at it, and it's a very bright. When you see the sun in hydrogen alpha, the whole sun looks like a red ball. But the flares are a very bright part of that thing, right on the edge.
Well, hopefully, David, these flares will not be interrupting communication satellites, which they very well could, correct?
They very well could, but I don't think these are going to.
Okay. What about some strong meteor showers?
Well, the Eta Aquarids this year were among the best that I've ever seen. I was out last week on the morning of the 6th of April, and I saw 26 meteors in 1 hour of observing, which is really quite a bit. That's like one every 2 minutes. And they were really pretty strong. And there were a lot of other people who saw them as well from different parts of the United States and even Canada and Europe. It was a very interesting shower. It looks like the Earth bumped into a filament of dust from Halley's Comet that was let off thousands of years ago.
Hmm.
And for the first time, we just bumped into it. And that led to the increase in strength in this meteor shower.
David Levy is with us, world-renowned comet discoverer, and you were talking about Canada. David, a native of Canada, you're headed back to the home country tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm heading back tomorrow. My mother's 95th, so we're going to be celebrating that. I'm also going to go back to my old elementary school, Roslyn, which I always like to do when I go to Montreal. And on Friday, I will be lecturing to some of the children at my old school there. I really enjoy doing that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you can tell the kids about the comets that are a-coming.
Yeah, there are a couple of good ones. Actually, Pan-STARRS was really very nice. We got some good views of it. I just saw it a couple of nights ago. It is fading, but it's still easy to see. And then we have Comet Ison, which is scheduled to come in at the end of November. And it's interesting because comets are temporary. They're permanent members of the solar system, but temporary visitors. And as Peltier said, he had watched a dozen comets, hitherto unknown, slowly creep across the sky as each one signed its sweeping flourish in the guest book of the sun. It's one of my favorite quotes about comets.
Thank you, David, for your quote of the day. And Comet Ison, we're looking for November for kind of the peak viewing for Comet Ison, is that correct?
Yes, it's supposed to reach perihelion on the 29th, I think, of November, at which point it may be as bright as the full moon. However, it'll be extremely close to the sun then and very difficult to see, even if it is that bright. However, assuming it survives its encounter with the sun, it will then sport a very nice long tail that we're all looking forward to see.
Could this be the brightest comet in many, many years?
It might be the brightest comet since 1965, when another sungrazer comet, Ekaya Seki, rounded the sun, and it was a beautiful, beautiful comet. I saw it on October the 29th of that year, and again on November the 5th, and it was just a beautiful sight to see that comet in the pre-dawn sky over Montreal, where I was growing up at the time, and where I'll be visiting tomorrow.
You're getting back to that satellite still orbiting after 50 or 60 years. Was it low on the horizon? How did you know where to look?
Well, there's a program called heavensabove.com, and it has every satellite. It turns out, and I didn't realize this until just a little while ago, it has every satellite that is still in orbit. There are hundreds of thousands of them.
Wow.
Still in orbit, and satellite that can still be tracked is trackable on this program, including the Vanguards.
All right, David Levy, I hope you have safe travels back to Montreal tomorrow, yes, up to Canada, and we will talk to you in a month or so and talk, yes, a little bit about your summer camp that is coming up, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
David, my best to Wendy. Have a great trip.
Okay, thanks a million. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Attorney General Holder says the FBI's criminal investigation of the IRS could involve potential civil rights violations, false statements, and potential violations of the Hatch Act. Holder testifying today on Capitol Hill. An administration official says the White House supports a move in the Senate to revive a media shield bill, one that would protect journalists and their employers from having to reveal information. Despite a handful of disappointing economic reports, the stock market has been steady or higher for much of the day today. It's been a recurring theme in the market recently, investors often shrugging off reports of sluggish economic growth. The Dow is up about 38 points, the Nasdaq down 1, the S&P is trading about 5 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
It's 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show, and once a month we focus on animal care issues here, and the segment is about specialty animal care presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com, Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson Specialty Vets for Special Pets. And joining us on this month's animal care segment is Dr. Dimitri Brown. Dr. Brown is Director of Emergency Services at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Dr. Brown, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it is the season when the rattlesnakes are out, and of course, those of us who are out walking the dog, and we need to be very careful. How common are rattlesnake bites in dogs and cats, for that matter?
You know, unfortunately, they're really common here in Tucson. During the summer, we'll see between 1 and 5 patients a day for rattlesnake envenomations, and we even see them when it's colder outside. We occasionally even see them in December and January.
And how do you know if your dog or cat has been a victim of a rattlesnake bite?
Well, the easiest way to know, of course, is if you see the rattlesnake, but most commonly dogs or cats are bitten either on the face or on their feet. And so one of the first things that you'll see is some localized swelling, which can be actually very profound very quickly. Sometimes, but not always, you can see puncture wounds, and most commonly you'll see 1 or 2 puncture wounds, but it can actually be up to 6 punctures from a single bite. Sometimes you'll see bruising on the skin in the area where they were bitten, and a lot of times pets will become lethargic or act painful as well.
What is the best advice, Dr. Brown, that you can give to an animal, a companion animal owner to get their animal to care?
Well, you know, I think the most important thing is to get to a veterinary facility as quickly as possible, and ideally to a facility like Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson that's open 24 hours a day and has a good stock of antivenom that's available. And as far as the actual transportation, if the bite is on an extremity, meaning, you know, one of the paws or a leg or something, keeping that bite site below the level of the heart is ideal, and keeping the pet as calm as possible. And additionally, we recommend that people not give any medication to their pets. Don't put a tourniquet on a limb or try to suck the venom out, or perform other treatments that you can read about on the Internet. A lot of those have actually been associated with worse outcomes for patients. But certainly the most important thing is to just get to a veterinary facility as quickly as possible.
And when you get to the facility, what is the preferred treatment as far as you're concerned, Dr. Brown?
So there's really 4 aspects of treatment. The first one is pain management. These bites are profoundly painful, and oftentimes pets will try and bite that, you know, are normally very sweet pets that would never imagine biting people, but it's incredibly painful, and so usually we'll give them an injection of some pain medication as soon as they arrive, and then we'll actually put them on a drip of pain medication that we can dial up or down for the next 24 hours. Another important aspect of treatment is getting them on intravenous or IV fluids, and that helps to treat them for shock, but also helps to flush the toxins from their body. And so, again, they're usually receive that treatment for somewhere between 24 and 36 hours, depending on the severity of the bite. And then, of course, another aspect is giving them anti-venom. We can't reverse the damage that has been done by the venom already when they arrive. And so our goal is to give the anti-venom to neutralize the venom that's still in the pet's bloodstream and try and prevent more damage from being done. And then the last part of our therapy here is doing a topical laser therapy. And that helps to reduce the swelling around the side of the bite and opens up some of the lymphatic drainage and increases blood flow to the area. And since we've started doing that, we've actually had a lot fewer pets have tissue dying at the site of the bite. So it's been a really great improvement in how we treat those pets.
Dr. Dimitri Brown is with us. He's Director of Emergency Services at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. The treatment for cats, is it the same as dogs?
Yeah, the treatment for dogs and cats is actually very similar. Cats are a little bit more resistant to the rattlesnake venom per pound of body weight than dogs are, but obviously a lot of cats are smaller than dogs, so they tend to get more venom per pound of body weight. On the other hand, cats tend to go and hide after they get envenomated, whereas our dogs tend to, you know, come and act painful, and so dogs tend to be seen more quickly, whereas cats tend to have more of a delay. The other thing is that cats are more likely to have an allergic reaction to the antivenom than the dogs are, so we're a little bit more cautious about giving them antivenom than dogs, although it's usually still in their best interest to receive it.
Are there any risks involved with using the antivenom?
So, unfortunately, there are. You know, like any foreign protein that we put into one of our pets, there's the risk of having an allergic reaction. And fortunately, if a reaction does occur, we can typically treat that with antihistamines and maybe a low dose of steroids or something and still finish giving the antivenom safely, but there is a small risk.
Is this treatment prolonged, or when do you start to see results right away, Dr. Brown, or what's the prognosis for these animals?
So the prognosis tends to be very good with treatment. I would say that certainly over 95% of patients that we treat here do extremely well. Oftentimes their swelling will continue to progress for the first maybe 12 hours even with treatment, but we tend to see their vitals stabilize pretty quickly and they will respond to the fluid therapy pretty quickly in terms of coming out of shock and looking a little healthier. But as long as pets are brought in quickly and we can treat them aggressively, they tend to do very well.
But if they're not brought in, we're talking fatal here, correct?
So potentially it can be fatal, yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, there's no way of evaluating exactly how much venom a dog or cat has received when they're bitten right away. And so it's hard to know which pets are potentially at risk of this being fatal. And so some pets will survive with no treatment. Others, you know, certainly some of them, unfortunately, don't survive. And if treatment is delayed, we can usually still get them through it, but it tends to require a lot more aggressive treatment. It requires more anti-venom to try and play catch-up and get back to where we should have started.
Of course, the most important thing is not to, if at all possible, have one of these incidents occur, and that now we're talking about prevention. I've heard about rattlesnake training for dogs. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so I think rattlesnake training can certainly be effective. It's not foolproof, but I think it's certainly worthwhile. But unfortunately, you know, even dogs that are watching for snakes and know to avoid them sometimes will step beside them or on them just like people do that know that they shouldn't go near rattlesnakes.
Any other prevention tips you can give us, Dr. Brown?
Yeah, you know, I think that the biggest thing is keeping your pets with you and trying to supervise them when they're outside, particularly during the summer. The most common history that I hear from patients that are coming in is that they, you know, the dog went to go in and get a ball out from under a bush, or they went to go and investigate something that moved under a bush, and then they jump back because they've been bitten in the face. So I think trying to keep them with you or where you can see them and supervise them is definitely the key.
Is the bite, where the bite is, how important is that? You say a bite on the face, is that a more difficult, does it spread more quickly than, say, a bite on the paw would be?
Sure, that's a good question. You know, bites on the face tend to swell more than bites on the paw. But in terms of their systemic effects and the likelihood of causing something severe like death, bites on the paw actually tend to be more severe. Bites that are higher up on the head, around the eyes, things like that, are almost always very severe envenomations.
Well, I think our message is the time factor, how important it is, and that this doesn't necessarily have to have a sad ending, correct?
Absolutely.
Dr. Dimitri Brown, thank you very much for being with us today. Dr. Dimitri Brown, Director of Emergency Services at Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. And, of course, Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is recognized as the best place in Tucson to bring your sick or injured pet, located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you out.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. The Silver City area offers escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Swim in the Gila River. Relax in a hot spring. Hike in the Gila National Forest. Visit Silver City's historic downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, restaurants, and plenty of fine places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA. You can find out more about Silver City, which is only 3.5 hours east of Tucson, by visiting their fine website, Southwest New Mexico, that's spelled out, .org, would be a great weekend getaway. Well, Pima County Supervisors Allie Miller and Ray Carroll, both Republicans, were unsuccessful in getting the full board to agree to hold study sessions on the recommended county budget. So Supervisor Miller has organized a question and answer session with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry and various Pima County Department directors that will be taking place on Friday morning at the County Administration Building in downtown Tucson. Supervisor Miller joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Allie, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Tell me about what you hope to accomplish with Friday's session.
Well, one of the reasons that I put that item on the agenda is that I promised when I ran for election that I would bring transparency and accountability, and I really firmly believe that we should have study sessions on the budget. Every other jurisdiction, municipality around does that, and so that's the reason I put it on the agenda, and unfortunately, the other board members voted it down. Ray Carroll did vote yes. I met with Mr. Huckleberry, and he agreed to do a study session for District 1. Ray Carroll has been invited, and I believe he's sending a representative. But we want to ask the questions. We're actually going through the budget, and we're identifying areas that we have questions on, and Mr. Huckleberry has graciously agreed to bring his staff members in and answer all the questions for us. So I'm very pleased that we're getting our study session after all. And I think it is really important to actually hold these sessions because it helps not only people learn where their money's going, but it also helps people understand the budget much better. And I think it's going to be a great meeting. There are a lot of questions. We have been putting them together from constituents that have questions. And I actually formed a budget advisory team, and I have 12 people that we've been going through. And in addition to that, I've solicited questions from anyone who has them to send them into district1@pima.gov.
Okay, and the public will not be able to ask questions. They will be you're going to relay the questions, correct?
Well, what we're doing is we're going to have a panel of 3 people ask the questions. And the reason for that is just to make sure we have a 3.5-hour window, and we want to make sure that we get as many questions answered as possible. It is not a discussion session. It is strictly to ask questions and get the answers. And that ensures that we get all the questions we need answered. And next Tuesday, as you know, we'll be voting on the budget ceiling. So we want to have as much information as possible before I actually go back to the meeting on Tuesday and vote. So that's the purpose of having a panel ask the questions rather than have individuals ask their questions and avoiding repetition, et cetera.
All right, and that's going to be from 8:30 a.m. to 12, and you mentioned that Supervisor Carroll is going to have a representative. I think he's going to try to at least be there for the last hour, but we'll see. But it's important for the public to, again, what is the email that they can get a hold of you with the questions?
District1@pima.gov. And it will be Friday, 8:30 to noon, and it'll be at 130 West Congress, and it's on the first floor in the Board of Supervisors hearing room. It will be recorded, just like a regular supervisor meeting, so we'll have the whole staff in there to answer the questions. And we'd like as many citizens as possible. People have been asking for transparency, and we'd like them to make sure that we have as many citizens as possible down there to hear how their government, how their tax dollars are being spent.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Roberta has a comment for Supervisor Allie Miller. Go ahead, Roberta.
Well, I would just like to thank you, Allie, for trying to stand up for the citizens of this county and city. I just read a Truth in Taxation hearing notice of tax increase for the city of Tucson, and they're proposing an increase of primary property taxes of 19.5%. Chuck Huckleberry has a proposed increase of 5%. And these are things that will cause businesses not to come to the city. My neighbor has an architectural firm. He just moved and moved to Texas. And we are not going to be bringing in jobs if we continue to hit the citizens. And by bringing this to light and pushing through and getting Mr. Huckleberry to agree to having this session will bring some light on and some transparency to our government and what we may be able to do better than tax and, you know, the citizens. So I just wanted to publicly thank you. And I'm really appalled at the behavior of Mr. Fimbres, or Elias. Who's on the county? Is it Elias?
It's Richard Elias.
Thank you very much, Roberta, for your comment.
Okay, thank you,
Roberta.
Okay, let's see if we can get another call in here for Allie Miller. Charles has a question or comment. Go ahead, Charles.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. First, I want to thank Allie for all her efforts. I think it's the brightest ray of sunshine after years of darkness. And my two questions are, first, is she going to fight the property tax increase that they're proposing? And the other thing is there any legal justification for the approximately, used to be 14 million plus, that we're dumping into private agencies and private nonprofits for basically private benefits?
Okay. Okay, thank you, Charles. First question, are you going to fight the property tax, Allie?
That's the whole reason we're having this study session, to get questions answered and to understand where the monies are going. And absolutely, I am looking for cost reductions rather than a tax increase. If we can find places to save money, that's what I'm looking for. And you will hear my comments on Tuesday when we vote on the 21st. Mm-hmm. And as far as the monies going to private agencies, I have voted no on those on a lot of them, and as they come through, because I don't think we should be funding private entities and nonprofits with taxpayer dollars. I think that's up to the individuals if they want to donate monies there. There are some instances where there are organizations that are helping the poor, and I, will look at those, and I've certainly voted for some of those cases. But there's some where I feel that we're going spending way too much money on these entities. So I will be evaluating those as they come through.
Okay.
And the other thing I would like to say, this is the first study session, according to Ray Carroll, since 1997, since he was elected, they've had none. So I'm actually really excited that we get this opportunity to sit down and ask the questions, and I think people are really responding. I've gotten a lot of feedback, and I think it's about time we've had these. And that's the other reason, that I voted against the resolution to support a 10-cent per gallon gas tax increase yesterday. It was a 4-1 vote. I voted no. I think people in this county haven't gotten raises for 5 years. And I think they can ill afford a gas tax increase. And so I voted no on that. And I intend to continue fighting for cost savings and looking for ways to save money rather than to continue spending money. So we'll see how this all comes out after we get the data on Friday. I will be spending my weekend evaluating all of the various line items and trying to identify cost savings versus a tax increase.
Well, that's your weekend plans.
Yes, every weekend's been getting ready for the county meetings.
A quick question. One of the Buckmaster Show listeners who did not want to go on the air, please ask Allie Miller how she's getting along with other board members on of the supervisors.
I think it's going well. There are some that, as a new person coming in, you kind of, start asking questions that some people already know, and I think that maybe annoys people, but that isn't going to stop me from asking the questions that I don't know the answers to, and I will continue doing so. That doesn't intimidate me or upset me in any way. I think one of the things, and if you watched the meeting yesterday, I'm requesting a little more decorum in the meetings.
Okay.
And I think you'll see that happening.
All right, Allie Miller, Pima County Supervisor, District 1. Thanks for being with us, Allie.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests, our in-studio guests, provided with a bottle of Culligan, and everybody says the same thing. Culligan water, it just simply tastes better. John C. Scott comes up this afternoon, the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 on KVOI. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. Then it's Buckmaster. We are back on the air with you at 12:04 tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. We hope you have a great afternoon. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.